We're going to be in Genesis 12 to start with here this morning. So if you guys want to start turning there in your Bibles. So God's been speaking to me lately about faith and how vital it is in the relationship with Him. And I think a lot of you guys are probably thinking right now of the definition of faith from the book of Hebrews, where faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Things that we don't see, we have to accept them by faith. The things that we do should be operating out of our faith. There are some things that we're doing that we know that it's not actually a big faith step for us. You know, as Sean pointed out last week, y'all have faith to be sitting in the chair that you're sitting in this morning. You put the trust in the fact that the chair is going to hold your weight. You didn't analyze every part of it. You didn't turn it over, make sure that all the welds are being held together. You didn't look to see how thick the tubing was, make sure there weren't any stress risers in it. You went off of past experiences to decide that, yes, it was going to be safe to sit in. If it held you before, it'll hold you again this time. Now, sometimes you might do things a little bit more sketchy. I mean, I know I like to, I have a tendency to use things that are not stable as stairs and ladders and work surfaces. I'll try to step on a step stool or an office chair and hope that I'm able to maintain my balance. I'll be reaching out from a ladder and see a railing and think, okay, maybe that'll hold my weight, put my foot on it. And when things aren't as familiar, sometimes we kind of gradually put our weight on it because you don't know for sure that it's going to hold. You're not confident of what the result is going to be. But faith is something that we use. Now, there's a big question I want to ask this morning, and it's rhetorical. It means it doesn't need a response. It's not meant to be answered out loud anyway. It's something to get you pondering or thinking about. So don't say it out loud. It goes right along with what God's word to us already this morning was, but we take small faith steps all the time. But let me ask you this. When was the last time that you took a big faith step? One that you really had to step out on a limb. One that you weren't completely sure of the outcome before you started down that road. What it was that where you were on unstable or unfamiliar ground. Where you really had to put your full trust in God to do what He does. Where you truly operated in a realm of faith. I'll say Abraham did something to that kind of level of faith when God spoke to him. Where we're looking in Genesis 12. And we're going to start in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you." Now I'm going to pause right there after just one verse. This is where we get to see what kind of faith Abraham had. God says to him, "Go to a land that I will show you." I wondered, maybe I'm oversimplifying this. Maybe I'm missing something. There's something probably that if I look at another translation, it's going to say something else that makes it a little bit different, right? Well, I looked at probably the top 20 translations out there, and they all say it nearly the exact same way. To a land I will show you. Okay, that's not true. Some of you guys probably have the King James Version. And you have me on a technicality here. It says, "Unto a land that I will shew thee." Small technicality, but nearly identical words in every other translation. God's word to him was to a land that I will show you. Not a land that I'm showing you right now. Not a land that I showed you yesterday. Not a land that I gave you a prophetic vision of, or I showed it to you in a dream, or I gave you a map on how to get there. But it says, to a land that I will show you. Future tense. God doesn't have to lay out every detail for us to have faith and move on it. Now, I like to plan a lot of things out. I've been to so many schools that I've never even heard of in the last year. Now, I'm not from around here originally, so granted, I wouldn't know where Northfield High School is, middle school is. But I don't feel too bad when Ashley hasn't heard of them either. So oftentimes, I do what any millennial would do, and I go look it up on Google Maps. I like to plan my route, figure out how long it's going to take me to get there, what route it's going to take me, what roads I'll have to take. Does it make sense to go that way, or should I just stay on one of the main roads and get to it instead of cutting through the country like Google's telling me to do? But Abraham was told to just go without further instruction. At that point, God hadn't even told him what he was going to do when he got there. Just to go to a land that he will show him. But he did give him a promise after that before he left. He continued in verse 2 saying, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I'm just going to pause right here. Also, and recognize how much God wants us to see how his word is conditional on our response. If you want one part of his word, you have to take the whole thing. If you want the blessings that he has, that he's promising, you have to look at and do what the instructions were that he said to do. God told Abraham to leave his country, his family, his father's house, and go to a land that he would show him. There were specific instructions to him. God's instructions still today are dependent on our faith act that accompanies the promise that he gives us. God's not a snowplow parent. He doesn't move things out of our way so that life is easy. Some of the instructions that he gives us, they require actions on our parts to walk out our faith. Now, if you don't believe me, I challenge you to read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, and pay attention to every time that there is a miracle, a sign, a wonder, a healing, that nearly every one of those had a faith act that was a part of it. The first miracle that Jesus did was turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana. But it took a faith act for them to fill the water pots. And then to dip that first cup of wine. Could you imagine being the servant that took that cup to the wedding master? Because they knew that they filled these pots with water. They knew it wasn't wine that was in there. But he took that dip of that cup, and he carried it to the wedding master. The whole way he probably was thinking, I hope this works, I hope this works, I hope this works. Otherwise, I'm just serving him water. But the result was, Jesus was glorified. The result was, he had faith to believe that what Jesus said would happen. I don't believe that actually was wine until it was handed to the wedding master. I think while it was still in the pots, it was still water. Even after that cup was drawn, it was still water. I don't think that turned to wine until he actually handed it to the wedding master. That's just me speaking. But that was true faith there as well. And you see that pattern more and more every time you read your Bible. So here in Genesis 12, Abraham was told to leave and go to the land that God would show him. He was given the promise, but it was still Abraham's choice whether or not he would do it. God gives us an opportunity. He lets us choose. From the beginning, from Adam and Eve, he gives each of us a choice. Every person has a choice. So let's look at what Abraham's decision was. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered. And the people who they had acquired in Haran, they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to a place of Shechem, as far as the Taberith tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. We see that Abraham did what he was told, that he departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Abraham did all this before he knew what the outcome would even be. He did it all out of faith, having only been given a portion of the instructions. But out of the instructions that he did get, he carried it out in obedience. He took all his possessions, his wife, his nephew, and he started going somewhere. We know that he finished in the land of Canaan, which was nearly 500 miles away from Haran, where he started. Now, if you're trying to figure out that distance in your head, how far 500 miles in is, it's the distance from here in Rochester, Indiana, to Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's the distance from here in Rochester, Indiana, to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. That's how far Abraham went after God told him to leave. And we have the luxury of driving in a car or a plane that far today. It's faith to make that kind of decision. It's important to do what it is that God is telling us. Not giving up because we thought it should have been something different. Not grumbling because it's not what we wanted or what we had planned. If Abraham had stopped at 100 miles or 300 miles even, he would not have come to the land that God was telling him to go to. That he was saying that he would show him. And eventually he said that he would give to his descendants. Today we would look at something like that with Abraham and think, "You mean I traveled all that way and I don't even get this land?" We're just thinking of the way society is today. These Canaanites are living in it. See, God didn't tell Abraham that he would get the land. He had only told him that he would make him a great nation. He told him to go to this land and he would show him. But Abraham, he continued the entire trip walking in faith, literally. We don't see grumbling out of Abraham that it wasn't the way he expected it. In fact, actually, we see that he worshiped God when he got to that land and God told him that he would give it to his descendants. He built an altar for him, it says. I'll say it's quite different than the people of Israel when they were taken captive and they were taken to Babylon. See, the prophet Jeremiah wasn't taken off into captivity with the rest of the Israelites. He had remained in Jerusalem. But he received a word from God for those who were taken off into captivity. And he wrote him a letter to tell him what God had been saying. We're going to look at that out of Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you have caused to be dreamed. For they falsely prophesy into you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you, perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. Now here's a verse that we take on its own oftentimes, but it's good to see the context around what's going on at the time. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now here's another verse we use, this standalone verse. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. See, Jeremiah had instructions for the Israelites because they thought that God would return them to Jerusalem quickly. Sometimes our own desires for how we want things to happen are our own enemy. The second half of verse 8 there said, nor listen to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed. Jeremiah 29:11 is coming against our own thoughts that are leading us into false direction. Our own desires get us in trouble sometimes. You might be thinking of the scripture that says that God gives us the desires of our heart, but it's dependent on our desires seeking after his heart. For us to be seeking him for who he is. See, the Israelites, they went into Babylon and they wanted to be freed. Yes, God is all powerful. Yes, God could have delivered them back to the way that it was. But they had been departing from God as a nation. They had been leaving God as their society. They were a corrupt people. And God wasn't getting glorified the way that he should. God was using this time to show them their need for him, that he cares about them all the time, that he cares for their future, telling them what to do now to prepare for it. See, if they didn't follow through with God's words through Jeremiah and plant gardens or build houses, they would have been making it more difficult on themselves and for the next generation. If they didn't continue to marry and become husbands and wives and then to have kids, they wouldn't even have a next generation. See, even in captivity, God wanted them to prosper and have peace. Even under the Babylonian and Persian control, God wanted to show them that he is the one that's still in control. But our faith must line up to the relationship with Christ. I'm going to read those verses that we love to quote out of Jeremiah there, and again, because it all pushes it back to our relationship with him. Verse 11 there, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all, everybody say all, all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from their places that I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place which I caused you to be carried away captive. All these promises are conditional on seeking God. All these promises are conditional on seeking Him with their whole heart. It's not just to seek Him a little bit, or when we need something, or to only seek Him for how we think it should be done. He wants us to seek Him. His desire is that we have that relationship with Him. He desires for us to seek Him above all else, not just to be seeking Him to go along with what it is that we're looking for. He desires to have it a two-way relationship with Him. See, because when we're in relationship with Him, we can't help but reflect our relationship with Him here in Rochester and the surrounding areas. Our actions will flow from our relationship. Our faith will show that we trust in Him fully in our relationship. I'll say we're reminding ourselves not to try to put God in a box, but to truly live by faith the way that He wants us to live. God doesn't want us to believe that our way of thinking is the only way that He will do it. Yes, He operates and uses people in certain ways, but when we think that that's how He's going to do it, sometimes we miss out on what God actually had planned. We should be seeking Him and see, how is it that you want this to be handled? I know I've done it this way before, but is that the way to go about it again? It's about being open to hear the present word of the Lord in our relationship with Him, that He confirms things in our spirit man. He makes it known even before we see it. We don't need to have all the answers. In fact, we recognize our dependence on Him more when we don't have all the answers. But it's believing Him and acting upon it with a level of faith to where we know that we heard what it is that He wants. There's two phrases that Jesus used multiple times that I think is real key here. There are two phrases that aren't a clear answer to a question that somebody asked Him, but it became more clear as they walked it out with Him. Those two phrases are, come and see, and follow me. You don't have the full answer to what is being asked, but we have the first step. Let's look at John chapter 1, starting verse 37. The two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, He said to them, what do you seek? They said to Him, Rabbi, which is to say when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where He was staying and remained with Him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. Then just a few more verses down the page in verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found Him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. It's an open invitation Jesus has for everyone. Come and see, follow me. There's a faith to walk in with that first command. Many left all to follow Him. Many leave friendships today, family members today, to follow Jesus. The invitation is there, but it's a choice to go through with it. Jesus puts that invitation out there all the time. But it's a personal choice to believe and act on that faith, to take that personal step with him. So faith is on us to walk out. We must check to see our faith. We can look at our faith and where it lines up if we're fully putting our trust in God, or if we're primarily trusting in our own abilities, or our own understanding, or our own rationalization or justification for the decision. Faith isn't faith until it's walked out in faith. There are some God-sized faith steps he wants us to step into. You might be thinking, okay, Pastor John, I get it. I need to have faith. So how do I know that what I'm supposed to do and going out on a limb and trusting God with? Do I just blindly go with whatever I desire? Do I just name it and claim it because he'll give me the desires of my heart? No. It is good to call down the blessings that God has for us, that he wants us to have by faith. Those are those promises that God's promised us. He shows us those in our private time and confirms it in his word. But the God-sized faith steps are personal. The God-sized faith steps come from that relationship with him. When we're aligned with his will for his kingdom, that is where we know that we're standing in faith. If you don't know what it is that you need to do, here's a suggestion. Pray for wisdom. In the book of James, in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." God is faithful to answer us. He gives liberally to all of us. He ain't stingy. He doesn't hold back. He wants us to have that answer. He wants us to hear that faith step and take it. Oftentimes, we don't see that second step until that first one is actually having the weight placed on it. So you think about that. If you're just kind of, just barely starting to put that faith, your weight on it. It's like I was saying with putting my weight on a stairwell or on a handrail. I didn't know if it was going to hold me until I actually was putting all my weight on it. I thought, yeah, it might work. But it wasn't really putting my trust in that until I actually put the weight on there. Until we've committed that first step, the next one usually isn't clear. We can be encouraged and believe that we have heard God and are moving towards his desire in faith. Here's another one for you too. If you're unsure of the answer, even after you've prayed for wisdom, test all things. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19 says, "Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good." If you heard it, but you don't think it lines up to God, run it through Holy Spirit. His spirit in us can confirm the word is from God, or it can reject the word and say, no, it's not from God. Here's a spoiler alert for you, though. I've looked at the playbook the enemy uses. It's like the Eagles and Chiefs facing each other this afternoon in the Super Bowl. We've studied the film. We know the plays the enemy tries to run. So here's a spoiler alert. When you've prayed and asked for wisdom on what the answer is, the first answer you got is most likely God. The second answer you got was the enemy trying to tell you, no, you didn't really hear from God. That was your own desire. That direction's not the one that God wants you to go in. He tries to come and take that word that God's given you and trying to snatch it away from you, making you doubt, making you question, making you not operate in faith. It's okay to filter it through Holy Spirit. Take it to Him because He knows what He's doing. And once we've heard that step to take, then it's time to take that step. Not come up with every reason to wait, everything that could go wrong. It's time to take that step. If you give it enough time, we'll talk ourselves out of it more often than not. Now, I posed that question earlier of what was the last time that we took a God-sized faith step? New Life Church, when is that last time? I think God's stirring us up. Let Him do the work that He's starting in us. It's time to press in, not quench the Spirit. We say that we're Holy Spirit-led here, so let's let Him lead. Every step we take should be in faith. When we hear it from God, that's the step to take. Regardless of where it is, wherever it is that He says to go. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for that relationship with us. Lord, we thank You that You communicate Your desires to Your people. Lord, help us recognize You and press into You, God. Help us press in and seek You with our whole heart, Lord, so that Your desires are fully clear to us. God, help us get out of the way and not put our own desires in there. Lord, help us not deceive ourselves into thinking that something that You are allowing to happen is not of You. Lord, help us show us what You have planned each and every step, God. Lord, we pray for clear wisdom and direction and guidance in it. Lord, give us a knowledge and understanding of what it is to do with it, Lord. And Lord, we thank You that You are faithful, that as we take that step, You are right there. Lord, help us recognize that You are right there with us every step of the way. Lord, as we sang this morning, lead us. Lord, lead us. And we follow You. Lord, we do come and see. We answer that call this morning. We thank You, Lord. Continue to draw us near. Continue to guide us. We praise You. We love You, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.